I wasn't surprised, and I'm really happy that George Floyd's family got the closure that they've been seeking for almost a year. I'm glad that they got to sleep last night knowing that the man who murdered their loved one was held accountable. And rarely is the evidence as clear and convincing as it was in this particular case, and that's why I wasn't very shocked. For many people who are harmed in that way, they try as much as they can to explain what happened, to talk about the experience, to talk about the trauma, and often it's just brushed off because we don't have the visual evidence that we had in this case, and so it's easier to dismiss it. And so the video resonated, I think, with not just those in the black community, but with the entire country who just was not aware that those kinds of things happened so frequently.
How do you turn what happened in the aftermath of the George Floyd public murder and the verdict on Tuesday into positive actions?
And I think that is one of the most important takeaways, Jean, from the case. The verdict did not overturn Graham versus Connor or City of Los Angeles versus Lyons, two of the most important cases in determining the legal standard for excessive use of force. Those decisions are still intact, which means that we still have a major problem. And we have to make sure that we move beyond assessing individual cases to looking at this systemically and making the appropriate decisions systemically that can prevent what happened to George Floyd, instead of us having to come in after a tragedy has happened and try to get justice after the fact.
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
We're talking with Brandi Faulkner, the Gloria D. Smith Professor of Black Studies at Virginia Tech and an Associate Professor in the Department of Political Science. How do you enact reforms without politicizing the process, Brandi? Also, alienating the police and those that support them. You know, case in point, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act that Congress will take a look at.
I think we have to recognize that it is political. And by political, I mean that we are trying to evaluate where power lies, and how to make sure that people are not harmed by those who are legally obligated to protect and to serve the public. And so it is a controversial area, and we should not shy away from that. We have to start not only having conversations about why this is important, but also making meaningful changes. And we've seen some examples, even here in Virginia, with the past legislative session and also the special session that was held back in August of 2020 to deal with criminal justice reform. We've seen things like ending no-knock warrants in Virginia. That is very, very important, and those are the types of changes that we have to move toward. It's not just federal responsibility. It's not just state responsibility. It's not just local responsibility. It has to be happening at every level. And those are definitely some great examples of attempts to move forward. Now, they're certainly not all-encompassing. As we might expect, this will be incremental change, and many are pushing for more rapid and stronger opportunities for change. But we do have to start somewhere, and I'm very proud that we are taking this seriously. I think that when we consider how identifying opportunities to better serve is in the best interest of the entire community, police should be on board with that. Why would they not be? And so I just don't agree with that this is something that causes at least well-intentioned police to walk away from their jobs. Perhaps it does cause those who have ill intent, who consider their roles to be one in which they exert their will over people in the community. Maybe it will cause them to walk away, and that's a good thing. But for the people who are really interested in being integral parts of their community, this will not be a problem.
I'm Gene Marano. We're talking with Brandy Faulkner, the Gloria D. Smith Professor of Black Studies at Virginia Tech and an associate professor in the Department of Political Science. So what do communities of color have to do, Brandy, for their part to enact real change regarding social and criminal justice and other issues of inequity?
Exactly what they've been doing for the past year. They have to continue to speak up. They have to continue to meet with their representatives. They have to continue to demand that we do better. And in doing so, there is a real opportunity, I think, to make some meaningful change. Were it not for grassroots organizations and activists around the country pushing in every state, we would not have some of the reforms that we are currently seeing. So you just have to keep showing up and keep demanding change. And I have no doubt that that will continue to happen.
One last thing. Brandy Faulkner, how did you feel Wednesday morning this week, a day after former police officer Derek Chauvin was convicted on all three counts of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd?
I am hesitant, Gene, to say, yes, I feel better, because I really don't. I recognize this case for what it was. It was an individual outcome. And when we saw the arguments that were being presented by the prosecutors, they were clear throughout their presentations. The police are not on trial. Chauvin is. So they wanted it clear that this was not about police reform. It wasn't about generalizing about police behavior. It was about whether Chauvin had acted reasonably under the circumstances. And we do have to go further than just these individual cases, and that's where I'm focused right now. I want to see some systemic change, and so that's where I'm devoting some time and energy. It is incredibly difficult, but that's okay. We do difficult things, and I have no doubt we're going to be successful with this.
George Floyd!
Say his name!
George Floyd!
Say his name!
George Floyd!